What You Need to Know is brought to you by two of our friends, one at My Computer Career, brought to you by My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life, and Straight Talk Wireless. Mike Greenberg is going to join us in 15 minutes. He will be hosting a new show. He's the host of Get Up. His new radio show debuts on this station on August 17th at 9 a.m., followed by Max Kellerman, Mason Ireland, and then myself and LZ in the afternoon beginning on August 17th. Don't forget Keyshawn in the morning on August 17th as well. All right, What You Need to Know. We'll go through this quickly here. Real quick, Jazz and Lakers today. Coverage begins at 4:30 here on the station. Tip time is at 6. Anthony Davis, Greg Bergman, who we talked a lot about and we will continue to talk about some more here, shooting 50% from the field in two games this season against the Jazz. So this may be the Anthony Davis remedy game. Are you feeling that could be a possibility?
Yeah, Anthony Davis has been fantastic in the two games against Utah already this year. I expect a big one from him and LeBron to start figuring it out a little bit more too.
Yep, LeBron averaged 26 points a game during the regular season and almost 11 assists. He's gone for 18-6 so far in the two games. Next in the NBA, Mike Budenholzer and Billy Donovan were named the NBA Coaches Association Coach of the Year. This is not the media award. The coaches, the 30 coaches, vote for their own. Those two guys tied. And by the way, Nick Nurse finished 1 point behind. There was almost a three-way tie for Coach of the Year, Greg, according to the coaches.
Yeah, I don't get these coaches awards things anyway. Like Mike Budenholzer, they were expected to win the East. They were expected to be the best team. I get the whole Billy Donovan one. Nick Nurse should absolutely be up there instead of Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'm with you on Bud. I mean, they did have a historic year, too. They were on pace for 70 games, which is pretty important. But
right, but I mean, like, Toronto, anyway.
Yeah. Next, the Clippers. They defeated the New Orleans Pelicans, just blew them out of the water, really, from the get-go. It was just not competitive at all. A franchise record, 25 three-pointers versus New Orleans. They connected on 25 three-pointers. Greg? Are you getting a little worried about the Lakers and the way the Clippers are playing? I know they lost, but it didn't feel like a loss on their end.
No, I'm not worried about the Clippers still. They played against a Pelicans team that just does not have any defense whatsoever, and you saw it there. The Lakers' defense was very good against the Clippers, just like it was still good against Toronto, even though they lost. So, no, not worried.
All right, we'll get to the Lakers part of this in a second. The Dodgers, Mookie Betts is day-to-day with a finger injury, but Mookie was playing really well. Greg, both at the plate and in the outfield, he was performing at a really high level over the weekend against Arizona.
Yeah, I'm loving what I'm seeing from Mookie. He's looking like he's going to be worth every cent that the Dodgers gave him. So hopefully he's going to be fine. It's just a sprain, should be okay. But if he comes back to hitting how he was, watch out, because nobody's beating this team in any type of series.
And Clayton Kershaw looked like Clayton Kershaw, so the back must be feeling better.
Yep, and they're making him so that it was fine to take that one start off. Just be this
Were you not ready for Clayton Kershaw there? Because it didn't sound like you're ready for Clayton Kershaw.
I was thinking about other things. I was thinking about other things, but I'm ready for Clayton Kershaw. I'm ready for this Clayton Kershaw, that's for sure.
All right, that's what you need to know. Presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Greenberg going to join us in about 13 minutes.
All right. I got my what you need to know. Where's my what you need to know?
Oh, you had one. That's right. You want to make fun of the Astros every day. So go ahead. Yeah. Or put the music back up for a second. One more time for Greg. He wants to make fun of the Astros every day. So go ahead. Throw in your Astros jab.
I just want to say that sometimes knowing what's coming is a little bit easier than actually not knowing what's coming. George Springer is now went 1-for-4 yesterday and is hitting a robust 182. Jose Altuve against a really bad Angels team. And Shohei Ohtani, who can't really throw a ball for anything right now, went 0-for-6 and is hitting 158. 158 for the batting champion Jose Altuve. And Alex Bregman, after going 2-for-6, is now up to a very large 211 batting average. Just saying,
so we will
very difficult.
We will monitor the Astros and their struggles throughout the season. We will do that in What You Need to Know. So there you have it. That is what you need to know now. All right, let's get back to the Lakers real quick because I want to sneak in the Pac-12 conversation again here. The Pac-12 players have formed a group, basically, and they are basically protesting some of the issues going on, and they want a number of things. There are a number of different demands. We'll get to those in just a second. Honestly, I think like 85% of them are super reasonable and should be taken care of fairly easily by the Pac-12. There's the other 15% that I think will have some issues, or they will have some issues, and we'll discuss those in a second. But you heard Amin about Anthony Davis, and I asked him, whose fault is it? Is it Anthony Davis for being passive in the fourth quarters? We've seen that repeatedly against the Clippers and most recently in the last two games here in the restart. Is it on Vogel to put him in better positions? Is it on LeBron to put him in better positions? And he said, yes, all of them, all of them. But he told the story, and this is what I said on Friday, and you were like, me. And he said it about Hakeem Olajuwon, Kenny Smith telling the story on TNT that Hakeem, who's as mild-mannered as they come, right? And he went out there after only getting four shots and a half and mother bleeped the entire roster. And Anthony Davis is a really nice guy. And sometimes Anthony Davis is going to have to not be a nice guy. Anthony Davis, at the beginning of the season, said, I'm going to keep and hold LeBron accountable on defense. And he has. And it's time for Anthony Davis to hold himself accountable in the fourth quarter, Greg.
Look, I don't think you're wrong. And we talked about it a little bit last week. And actually, John Ireland repeated it when he was on as well. Anthony Davis doesn't play for the first 6 minutes of the fourth quarter. And in the fourth quarter, the guy that you want basically having the ball and being in go mode is LeBron James. So in the fourth quarter, I feel like it is more on LeBron to find Anthony
Davis. All
right,
stop. 6 minutes is plenty of time to get up more than one shot, Greg.
Oh, no, like, I agree with you.
I can understand Ireland taking that position, and that's fine. But you stop it, okay?
No,
stop it.
No, I'm not saying it's okay to only have one shot, okay? I'm not saying that he shouldn't be more aggressive. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be putting up at least 8 to 10 points in the fourth quarter because he's such a dominating force. I'm just saying that a lot of this is on LeBron James to be able to find Anthony Davis and not be looking.
And some of it is on Anthony Davis to be, yo, mother bleeper, give me the damn ball.
I mean, I hope so, but that's not really how he works. And really, you want to do that to LeBron? How many guys in the history of the NBA have actually looked at LeBron and said, give me the bleeping ball?
You know what? Pretty much everybody that I know that has played with him that's a star. Every one of them. Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Kevin Love, and Kyrie. And yeah, it may irk him, but you know what? He'll be like, all right, you want the ball? Go get it.
And
go,
then
here you go.
Down.
Now do something. And then those guys have the personality to go and get their buckets. And Anthony Davis has the skill set to go get their buckets. So I can tell you for a fact that those four guys that I mentioned have done that to LeBron in his career. And it's time for Anthony Davis. He already did the hard thing initially, saying he was going to hold him accountable on defense. Now it's time for him to be introspective and look inward and say it's time for him to do the same for himself.
I would love to see Anthony Davis on the block more instead of where he's in, especially in the fourth quarter, he's outside in that 3-point range basically the entire game. I rarely, if ever, see him on the block as much as he used to be. And maybe that's part of the game plan from Frank Vogel. I don't know exactly, but the problem is that he needs to, I agree with you that he needs to be more aggressive. I just think that LeBron has to be able to be a part of that, because part of that moving Anthony Davis out to the 3-point line is the four out that LeBron loves to play in, right? So we can have more of a lane to get into the middle of the paint. And if Anthony Davis is in there clogging it up, it makes it a little bit more difficult for him.
He doesn't have to be in the paint to get his shots. The guy can put it on the floor and take pretty much any big off the dribble. Like, let's not be ridiculous here. This isn't This isn't Patrick Ewing camping out in the left elbow. You know what I'm saying? Like come on.
Look what you've seen in the fourth quarter, especially from Toronto. Look, the two teams that the Lakers have seen played against is the Clippers and the Toronto Raptors, and both of them put full double teams on Anthony Davis as soon as he got the ball. And when Anthony Davis is in a double team, he tends to struggle a little bit. I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
Okay, and that's what I'm saying. That's on him and Vogel and LeBron to figure out, but a lot of it is on him. Like, he needs to figure that out.
Right. I mean, look, playing out of a double team is not the easiest thing to do in the world. But
he's a professional basketball player, and he's one of the most gifted players in the league. Maybe even in the history of the league.
Playing against top two and three defenders in the league. Like, they're not playing against some scrubs. They're not playing against the Sacramento
Kings. I understand that, Greg. He is a top five player in the NBA right now. He needs to be that in the fourth quarter is all I'm saying. If he doesn't do that, the Lakers aren't going to win a championship. If he does that, they are. It's really just that simple.
Look, I'm not disagreeing with you. Let's just get that part out of the way first. I think that again, though, you need to be able to play out of those double teams, and he's having a problem with it. He is legitimately not able to he's losing the ball. He's carrying it too low, or the guys are just stripping it out of his hands, or he's losing his balance, which happens way too often for him. But either way, I agree with you. Without him being aggressive in the fourth quarter, they're not going to win anything.
Okay. Thank you. Now we're good. All right, Pac-12 real quick, before we get to Mike Greenberg, who's going to join us in 6 minutes. The Pac-12, if you don't know what's happening, the Pac-12 players have created a union and have a list of demands. And look, I'm going to say this on the front end, because we had Bruce Feldman on earlier, and he was fantastic, that most of this stuff, as I mentioned before the break, 85% of this stuff, I think, is absolutely doable, okay? Things like, for example, I'm just going to go through them very quickly. COVID health and safety protocols, no-brainer, right? Void the COVID-19 waiver of liability, no-brainer, right? That's that waiver these conferences want these kids to sign, like, oh, you get COVID, that's on you. Yeah, that's done. Mandatory safety measures with a third party involved. That should be no issue, okay? Next, preserve all sports by eliminating excessive expenditures, eliminate bonuses, use endowment to preserve sports, reduce pay of Larry Scott and ADs and coaches and yada, yada. Well, look, I'm with you on reducing those guys' pays because, you know, the fact that the players get nothing and these guys are making a bazillion dollars is ridiculous. But the endowment part of this doesn't make a lot of sense. While the preserving all sports part of it across the board, we just had Stanford eliminate 12, is certainly commendable. And I think something that we should all try to achieve, okay? I do think that you have to understand that endowments are earmarked, okay? And that's going to be a challenge, okay? So there needs to be some wiggle room there, and I doubt that the way it's constituted is going to work, okay? The next one, no-brainer. End the racial injustice in college sports, form a task force, create a fund, 2% of the conference revenue to help financial aid for low-income black students. That's easy. That should be easily done. Pac-12 Black College Athlete Summit, 3 players from each team. They meet with all the different ADs and the commissioner and the Board of Regents, etc. That should be easy. Economic freedom and equity. Medical insurance that covers them up to 6 years after playing in college. Plus name, image, likeness. Name, image, likeness is already starting to form itself and figuring itself out, particularly in California, Texas, and Florida, the 3 states that went all in on that. The medical insurance, while I do think they should get 6 years, I think that they'll look at that number as high and like a good negotiation point. So what I would say is if they can get 3 or 4 out of it, that's a win. There's no question. But that's like middle ground. That may have to get figured out. Fair market pay right freedoms. This is another challenging one. 50% revenue split. If you split 50% of the revenue with the college football players, you're not going to get back to, quote unquote, preserving all sports. Like, that's just, there's not going to be any money there. 6-year scholarship to pursue grad school. That's a good one. The coaches, by the way, want a 5-year scholarship. So they can align with the coaches there. That should be good. Eliminating policies that limit free speech. That's a no-brainer. Easy. Charitable activities or other campus activities. That's easy, too. College athletes aren't allowed to do anything other than play their sports, practice their sports, and go to school. If they want to take on charitable activities or other campus activities, they should be allowed to, like any other student. A one-time transfer without punishment. That should be a no-brainer. There's already conferences willing to do that. Be able to come back if undrafted. I love that. That should be a no-brainer, too, by the way. And due process if they get in trouble on campus. Everyone should get due process. So I think most of these things are doable. And players aren't stupid, man. They know the schools need them more than the schools need them, more than they need the schools right now. Now, maybe some people will disagree with that, but I seem to think that. And the key here is to prioritize. There'll be things that I mentioned earlier that the Pac-12 will concede and other things that are non-starters. But there's some stuff in the middle there that we discussed that could be significant in the progress that these players seek. So we'll get into that with Mike Greenberg next. We'll get Mike Greenberg's thoughts on the Lakers and the Clippers. Greenberg's new show begins August 17th at 9 a.m., followed by Max Kellerman, Mason in Ireland at 1, myself and LZ at 4, and don't forget Keyshawn, obviously, in the morning starting it all off. We'll talk to Greeny next in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your home quote today at progressive.com. And don't forget, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tonight as John Morant and the Grizzlies visit the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 Pacific on the ESPN app. Don't forget, August 17th, our new lineup begins with the morning show with Keyshawn Johnson. We'll still be on in the mornings here on this station alongside Jay Williams and Zubin Mahente. Jay Williams will join us tomorrow on the show, by the way. And then, of course, Mike Greenberg, who's going to be our next guest here in a moment. His new radio show debuts August 17th at 9 a.m., followed by Max Kellerman at 11 o'clock, the return of Max Kellerman to ESPN Los Angeles. And Mason in Ireland at 1, myself and LZ Granderson. I'll be back in afternoon drive after a year of not being in afternoon drive. I'll be back in afternoons with my old buddy LZ Granderson beginning at 4 o'clock and Scott Kaplan in the evenings when there are no games. So Mike Greenberg, the host of Get Up, and of course, as I mentioned, the new Mike Greenberg show here on ESPN Los Angeles at 9 a.m. beginning August 17th. Greeny, good to talk to you again. Hope you and yours are safe and healthy.
Thank you. The same to you, George. It's been too long. I hope you're well.
Absolutely. All good here. Thank you. A couple of things I want to get into with you. I want to talk some NBA, and then I want to get into this Pac-12 situation with this players union. But let's start NBA. One of the things that people here have been discussing the most is Anthony Davis's fourth quarter output. I have long been one who believes that the difference between the Lakers winning a championship this year will hinge on Anthony Davis. I know what LeBron's going to give me, and I feel like those role players are what they are. They're a deep team, they're a good team, they're a good defensive team, but we haven't seen Anthony Davis in these high-leverage situations. And I'm going to give you some numbers here. Against the Clippers, his fourth quarter output in an average of 7 minutes per fourth quarter, 2 points, 0 points, 4 points, 2 points. Then against the Raptors, only one shot attempt, 7 overall in the game. What are your thoughts on Anthony Davis and how much his success will depend on whether the Lakers actually win a championship?
I would share the first thing you said to me, which is that it is absolutely everything. Anthony Davis is the difference between the Lakers winning the championship and not. Anthony Davis should be the third best player in the Western Conference, and he should play that way, the third best playoff performer in the Western Conference behind LeBron and Kawhi. I think it is a reasonable expectation from him. He's that talented. He's paid that way. He's viewed that way. That is not an unfair or unrealistic burden to place on him. That's why he came to LA, because he found that he just made up his mind that in New Orleans they were never going to put the team around him to win. There are no excuses of that sort. And this is something we've talked about a lot on TV over the last few weeks. The question is, can Anthony Davis physically impose his will in the fourth quarter in games, or does he get pushed around? His skill level is unquestioned. But does he sometimes tend to get pushed around? He's the matchup that they can't handle with the Clippers. No one can match up with him. There's basically no one in the league besides Giannis that can match up with him. So I would completely agree with you that if the Lakers are going to win the championship, it is because Anthony Davis is going to bring them to the promised land. And I've been picking them since before the season began based on that. So the numbers you just read are horrific and obviously cause one great concern. We'll see what happens. I believe LeBron will give him every opportunity on the floor to do what you and I are both saying he needs to do for them to win the championship. And then either he'll get it done or he won't. And if he doesn't, then it will go down as LeBron not getting it done in LA. But I think you and I would both say that's probably not going to be the reality of the situation.
Greeny, the other thing that's interesting to me is kind of this mental thing he has about playing the center position and this reluctance of wanting to play the center position. I remember doing a game against, or I don't know if it was in New Orleans or not, but either way, I asked Alvin Gentry, I said, why do you guys announce Nikola Mirotic as the center? And his response was simply, well, you know, AD doesn't like to be the center. He doesn't like to even be announced as the center. And I'm just like, what? Like, this seems crazy. Like, you've covered sports for a really long time. Do you recall a situation where an athlete that has been this prominent, this successful, has this one little mental quirk that is just not something that anyone else can understand?
It's very interesting. You know, I remember when Kevin Durant didn't want to be listed at 7 feet tall. Remember, he didn't want to be 7 feet tall. He is 7 feet tall, and he didn't want to be listed at 7 feet tall. And for some, most people lie in the other direction. Most people want to be listed as taller than they are. No, it's a quirky thing. I don't know what the genesis of it is. I don't know what the thinking behind it is. He obviously was the center in college. I remember when he was coming out in the draft, I had Larry Brown on Mike and Mike, and I for all the ups and downs of Larry Brown, I respect his knowledge of the game as much as anyone ever. And I asked him, who is Anthony Davis on the next level? And he said to me, Mike, he's Bill Russell. He's Russell on the next level. And that has always stuck in my mind, that is the game that a guy like Larry Brown foresaw. Now, he obviously didn't see, because the sport has changed so much since then. And Anthony Davis's game really does feed into it, with his ability to go away from the basket in ways that people like Bill Russell would never have even imagined. But at the end of the day, he's a center. He's what a center is in 2020. I can't help you with why he doesn't want to be called that, or what difference it could possibly make.
Yeah, no, of course. But yeah, I was just wondering if you could think of anything else, and the Kevin Durant one was good.
The Durant thing is the thing that comes to my mind.
Yeah, it's so weird. Mike Greenberg with us here. Of course, the Mike Greenberg Show begins August 17th on this very station at 9 a.m., followed by Max Kellerman, and of course, Mason and Ireland and myself back in Afternoon Drive. So, Greeny, let me ask you about the Clippers, because I look at them and I ask you this, because clearly they haven't played a ton of games or even minutes together with their full complement of players. Do you believe that could come back to bite them at some point?
Yes, but I wouldn't bet that it does. If I had to bet on it, I would bet that it doesn't. Of course it could, but here's the thing. I've been picking the Lakers since the beginning, sort of with my heart. I would like to see LeBron do it. I'm a fan of his, and I would like to see him get this. So I have been picking them from the beginning with my heart, but my head has never really agreed. And I think that if all things are equal, if those guys come back and all those guys are fine, and the coronavirus or any other circumstances beyond people's control don't determine anything, then if you told me I had to bet an amount of money that mattered to me on the outcome, I would pick the Clippers to beat the Lakers. I will be rooting for the Lakers again solely because of LeBron. But I do not believe that it will come back to haunt them. I think Kawhi will be brilliant. I think that Doc is a difference maker. I remain a fan of his through what have been some ups and downs. And I believe they are just deeper. I mean, just endlessly deeper. They're as deep as any team at that level has been in a long time. And they have the two stars at the top. And they check literally every box. There's no box they don't check, except they haven't been together all year. But the reality is, who knows what that even means this season? I mean, this is a season unlike any other in so many different ways. They also, I think, have a little bit of an advantage not having to play 7 road games in a series against the Lakers, which it seems to me it would have been, and you would know that better than I would. My gut feeling is that it is not going to wind up coming back to bite them. And even though I've been picking the Lakers, the honest truth is I think the Clippers will beat them.
Mike Greenberg with us here. Again, the new show begins August 17th at 9 a.m. on this station. Let's flip over to the Pac-12 situation. The Pac-12 players have formed a union. They have discussed many different things on their list of items that they require. They want safety protocols, which should be obvious, all sorts of other benefits that are outside of the purview of the football field, including insurance, compensation, and things of that nature. Let me ask you this, Greeny. When you look at all this, and I think that some of this stuff is a no-brainer for the Pac-12 to say, sure, no problem, we'll work on that with you, we'll get it done. Some of the stuff, maybe about 10 to 20% of it, is probably a non-starter, and then there's some stuff in the middle ground I think that they can work on there. What do you view as the biggest issues of the list of demands of the Pac-12 players?
When you say the biggest issues, you mean the things that I think are most important to them, or the things that have
No. In regards to actually getting a deal done, in regards to actually getting things accomplished, as far as the issues that you that will arise with the Pac-12 in these negotiations.
Oh, and inevitably, I think it is anything that involves payment of any sort. That has historically that has been the third rail for college sports, and that's the thing that I think they will go kicking and screaming. By they, I mean the authorities, if you will, before they will step over that line, because that's a line you can't unstep. You can't go back from there. I think the health and safety protocols, look, I mean, shame on anyone who doesn't take those as seriously as they can be taken now. Shame on that should go without saying. And I think when push comes to shove, I'd like to think as a human being that it will. The social justice piece of this, I think, is moving in the right direction in an appropriate way. And I don't think that even though I think most people are in favor of it, and that even those who are not in favor of it, I think at this point are powerless to stop it. And I don't think there's any I think at the end of the day, it is all about finance. I think the things that will always be the biggest problems will be things that involve payment. I mean, the NCAA is still fighting over name, image, and likeness. They basically said, yeah, of course we'll have name, image, and likeness once we figure out how, and give us 10 years, and then we'll come back to you and let you know what the plan looks like. They'll keep fighting that thing until there's no fight left in them. So anything that involves compensation beyond a scholarship, I think is something that the powers that be will fight until they can't fight anymore.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, the compensation, they want 50-50 revenue split. Like, that doesn't even work in regards to the math, by the way, because they've also have some other stuff in there, including endowments, which those things are earmarked. But they want it in regards to making sure that all sports are reinstated. And I just don't know if the math part of it works out there. But you're right, the social justice stuff. I even think the insurance stuff, Greeny, I think that's as important as anything. Having insurance beyond their playing days. Now, they want 6 years. That may be a bit high, but I think they could potentially meet in the middle somewhere there and get some of that. And honestly, they probably deserve it.
What I don't know with certainty, and I asked Heather Dinich this question this morning, is who exactly is negotiating this on their behalf?
Something
from what I was told, it's roughly 400 players, at least that's what it was as of 10 o'clock this morning, my time. And I've been running around a little bit today, so if there's been updates to that, I haven't seen them. But when we know that they have organized in some way, but in what way exactly? Who exactly is negotiating this on their behalf? And how does that impact, I hate to even bring this up, but like eligibility issues and things like that? So this thing is so far from being unpacked. I have no idea where it will wind up. But I'm glad to see players. I have been hosting talk shows going back to my days working locally in Chicago in the early 90s. So it's almost 30 years I've been on the radio talking about players being unfairly, the lack of any compensation whatsoever being completely unfair to big-time college athletes. And so I'm thrilled to see them just taking total control of the situation, because I think it will ultimately resolve itself in a place wherever it winds up will be better than where it has been.
The Mike Greenberg Show debuts August 17th on this station, beginning at 9 a.m. Greeny, we look forward to the new show and chatting again more frequently. So stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Me too. I look forward to it too. Great to talk to you, and I'll see you.
All right, take care. There he is, Mike Greenberg with us here. All right, coming up next, Sean McVay and the Rams weigh in on the NFL's return. And you're going to want to hear what Sean had to say. We'll have that for you in just a sec. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Mike Greenberg for joining us there. We're going to have a short segment here because I interviewed Keith Olbermann on Saturday with Ashley Brewer from ABC7, who's no longer at ABC7. She used to be at ABC7, and she's now at ESPN. And I did a weekend radio show with her for the network, and we had Keith Olbermann on, and Olbermann just blasted Major League Baseball. especially after the situation where Carl Ravage spoke to the commissioner, and the commissioner's like, look, the player's got to do a better job. Like, not taking any blame at all. Anyway, I want to get to the Sean McVay story here in a second. And tomorrow, Greg, who do we have on the show? We have Jay Williams at 10:30, right?
Yep, Jay Williams at 10:30. Max Kellerman.
Max at 11?
Yep, and then at Boog Shambi at
11:30.
And then LZ Granderson at 11:40.
Like around 11:40, 11:45, right.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Big day.
All right, cool. A lot of guests tomorrow, too. Do we have this giveaway now, right?
Yes, we do. Go ahead.
All right, let's do this now. I should have promoted this earlier. It's a bad job by you, Greg, by not reminding me. I just did a Manfred.
You jerk.
I just Manfred you.
I absolutely did.
I Manfreded you. So, yeah, so there's that. So, anyhow, Sean McVay spoke more recently. Now, you remember, Greg, the last time we heard from Sean, he was kind of like, yo, how the hell are we going to do all this stuff, socially distance and actually try to play football? Like, this thing is going to be pretty difficult to try to pull off, you know? And he wasn't wrong. I do agree. It was going to be very difficult to kind of make all that work. But Sean recently was on a Zoom call, and our friend Lindsay Theory kind of documented it and asked him about how he feels about training camps getting started and whatnot. And here's the quote. I feel a lot better now. Having a little bit more knowledge and understanding, it's really about the risk mitigation and keeping our ecosystem clear. McVay previously had doubted the logistics, as we talked about earlier. We're still going to play football, McVay said. I think there's a better understanding of how we apply those risk mitigation practices. I made the comment about social distancing. We're not going to do that on the field, but in those meeting settings, when you can and you can do that and wear your mask, those are the times we're absolutely going to do that. That's going to be the way they do it. And he says, guys are chomping at the bit, yada, yada, yada. Do you think that's going to be enough, Greg?
No, I don't think it's going to be
enough. I mean, there's
testing.
I mean, obviously, guys are getting tested every day, at least for the first 2 weeks. So do you think that at least for training camp, that could be enough if guys are clear, right, and they're in meeting rooms? It's no different than basketball players not wearing masks during games.
Right. No, I think there's – if everybody sticks to what they are supposed to do, then yes. And I think that – you know what? I'm going to be a little more optimistic about it. If they look at what's happening in baseball and they're seeing what's happening where all these guys are getting testing positive because they're not listening to the protocols, and, you know, Matt Rodman for blaming them for no reason. Either way, if they start actually doing those things and seeing that it doesn't work in baseball, then maybe they will. So I'm going to say, yes, I do think it's going to work as long as they all stick to it.
Right. But the thing is, he said, and this is the interesting part, that they're not going to limit them with what they do outside. He says, quote, there's a level of responsibility that coaches, players, and really everybody in our building will have outside the ecosystem to make sure there's a consideration. It's not just about what you're doing here. It's about understanding how important the ramifications can be if you make bad decisions outside of that and who you are exposed to. So they're going to do the honor system, kind of like Major League Baseball. Now, that part worries me a little bit.
Yeah, it should worry you a little bit because this isn't like basketball where they're only in for like a month or two months, whatever it happens to be, or baseball where it's only for a few months. This is going to be like 5-6 months. You're doing this from August to December and possibly into January, February. So for them to be able to do all of that, I don't know, man. That's a long time to self-police. And I don't know how if we're going to really – you can't trust anybody to self-police for that long.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think – that's the part that I think is kind of strange. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's going to be the biggest issue. And hopefully they all do that. But, I mean, we already see guys like Lou Williams even on their – they go out of the bubble and they end up at a strip club. And, you know, people are going to do what they want to do. And if they better self-police, otherwise this whole season is going to go up in flames.
Yeah, I just realized Laura just realized the email that I got sent from the Oberman interview is only a cut, so we'll just have that.
No, that changes everything.
Yeah. I'm going to send an email back to the person in Bristol and be like, dude, you only sent me a cut, not the interview. But I probably, yeah, that's annoying.
Yes. Well, if you want some UCLA, local UCLA news, forward Chris Smith for the basketball team is returning to UCLA. So that's a big deal for us. He was a fantastic forward for UCLA.
Okay, cool. Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all right, so we will hear Keith Olbermann, at least in a cut, obliterate Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred. We'll have that for you coming up in just a second because you and I need to talk about that a little more and just kind of where the commissioner sits, where ultimately he's just not taking any blame. And it just seems like it's just a lack of leadership. And we're in a time in this world, right, where leadership matters. It matters in politics. It matters in our own families. It matters in sports. It matters everywhere. And Rob Manfred is no different. So we'll have some of that coming up for you in 2 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes, from customization to service to financial assistance. Mercedes-Benz vans are ready for anything. And by our friends at Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas, gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. I always love how Laura finds these like National Day stories. And today is National Watermelon Day. Had no idea watermelon had a day. Also, National Get Your Mind Out of the Gutter. This is a legit day. It's National Grab Some Nuts Day, as in peanuts, almonds, things like that. But that is the actual slogan that they use.
You don't know that.
I love that one when I saw it. I was like, I have to put that one up.
Yes. And then, of course, National White Wine Day, which, yeah, look. I had some.
Are you a white wine drinker?
I normally drink reds, but I drink white. I had white on Saturday during the day when we were in the pool. And, man, we went through like 4 bottles of wine all day Saturday, from like the beginning of the day to the end of the day.
Just you and Mrs. Sedano?
Yeah.
Oh, good for you guys. How are the those are one
now,
of those days where
I am kids, watch TV. The difference between me and Mrs. Sedano is that I consume Gatorade in between. I had like a like 16 ounces of Gatorade after every like bottle.
So Papa Sedano was in full effect then on Saturday.
Right. So I was good. Like I woke up fine the next day, you know, a little tired, but not like I didn't have like a headache. I wasn't hungover. Mrs. Sedano, on the other hand, a little more hungover than Mr. Sedano, that's for sure.
So with vacation coming up next week, how many over under bottles of wine that you will consume over that week of vacation?
I mean, we did 4 bottles over like a span of like 12 of like more like 15 hours.
Right.
You know, 12 to 15. Yeah, maybe not 15, probably like 12 hours. So it's not like we had them like just like, you know, on a night out. You know what I mean? Like this was throughout the entire day spaced out. Right. It just depends. Like I'm on a health kick. Like I did it that one day just because she was like, hey, you want to open up a bottle of wine early? And I was like, yeah, what the hell? But normally when I'm on vacation, I will find a balance between working out and kicking it, but I'm usually pretty good during the week. Like I don't drink very much on school nights.
No, that's good. You go on your 6-mile walks.
I did. I do. Yes, yeah. I'm back. But I am also being smart about this. I didn't go on Saturday, and I'm also icing my back. So
remembering you're an old man.
Right. I'm just doing it just so I don't have any issues so I can continue to do it properly. You know what I mean? And not have to worry about it. So anyway, speaking of doing things properly, Major League Baseball has not necessarily done things properly. And I thought we were going to have the whole interview with Keith Olbermann, but that's our bad. Bristol only sent us a minute cut. And we thought they sent the whole interview. But either way, no big deal. It was with myself and Ashley Brewer, who used to work at ABC7, now works at ESPN. We're happy to have her. She was great to work with on Saturday on the network. It was on this station, so maybe people heard it. So we were talking to Keith about Rob Manfred. And if, for those that don't know, Rob Manfred spoke to Carl Ravitch over the weekend, and Ravitch tweeted it out. When all the COVID stuff was going out and the Cardinals players, we found out they went to like a casino. You know, we were talking about the NFL, right? And the biggest worry, Greg, is, you know, outside of the ecosystem, like Sean McVay called it, and guys having to abide by the honor system. Well, clearly in Major League Baseball, we know the Marlins didn't and we know the Cardinals didn't. But Rob Manfred says this: we are playing. The players need to be better. I'm not saying he's wrong about that, but let me continue. But I'm not a quitter in general, and there's no reason to quit now. We have to be fluid, but it's manageable. I just hate the fact that he didn't even mention himself once. Like, you are the leader of the ship, man. Like, you're the captain here. Like, where is your stake in this? Like, why are you not putting any of the blame or any of the onus on yourself?
It drives me insane because that's one of the first things you learn is, like, that you always take the blame for the people below you. It has to be with you, and to blame the players just shows of how much you don't belong in this position.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Let me hear what Keith had to say.
The commissioner's statement doesn't really change anything except that it puts him in an awful spot relative to this if there are any more positive tests in baseball. And it puts him in an awful spot, particularly if the Cardinals come back with more positives in the next few days, because one thing that seems to have still eluded Mr. Manfred is that there is an incubation period between the time of exposure and the time that someone tests positive for COVID-19. Apparently, the best time to test somebody is 4 or 5 days after exposure. So if the Cardinals players were exposed indeed on Wednesday, there are probably some guys who have not yet tested positive, who are positive, who will test positive tomorrow and Monday. And as to the nature of the statement, this is very similar to what he said yesterday. There's a lot of work from the commissioner's office. Yesterday was off the record, today it's on the record, putting the blame entirely on the players. And it eliminates, the more he says it, the more it tends to eliminate the fact that this was a bad plan, poorly executed, wasn't going to work, and was sort of delusional.
Yeah. I mean, he freaking nailed it, didn't he?
That was perfect for him to say. Everything that he said was absolutely right. Yes, there is a 4 to 5 day incubation period, and for somehow Rob Manfred still hasn't figured this out is insane to me.
Some guys are just good offensive coordinators or defensive coordinators, man. And Rob Manfred was the number two at Major League Baseball for a really long time, and he's not the type of guy that's cut out to be the face of an organization. I mean, I am with you on that now, Greg. Like, I know that you and I don't always agree on stuff, but I am 100% in on that part of this equation. Like, I look, maybe he gets better. Look, he's not resigning. So, I mean, there's that, okay? Like, we just move on with that stuff. But it doesn't belabor the fact that he clearly is a little in over his head at this particular moment.
Like, I can understand you get something wrong with, like, the Astros, which is terrible all in itself. But you get it wrong, okay, you fix it for the next time. Next time, you know that you can actually police the players a little bit better and that and actually suspend them. Okay, fine. But then to get health wrong. Health is the biggest part of anybody. If your health is off, your whole season, everything about you is all messed up. Look at you and your back. I know I
like
didn't
the
make
way,
sense there.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I like the way you're like... Health is the most important part of everybody.
I know. It didn't
Thank
come
you,
out
Greg.
The way that
yes,
I wanted. I
know. We kind of know that. Yes, yes. Yeah,
I appreciate you calling
Thank
me
you,
out after
Captain.
Everything.
Yeah, yeah. Right. For the whatever. Guy who doesn't work out. Laura, did you say that on the air?
No.
Say that on the air.
I said, but he doesn't work out.
No. I do. I no. do now.
Health
Stop
is
it.
The most important part of everybody except me. Right.
No, I work out now. Thank you very much. I went on a 5-mile bike ride on Sunday. I walked
wow.
every morning. I'm doing the plank challenge. I'm doing a lot wow. of different things, all right? I know how old I am. But either way, Rob Manfred needs to care about the health of the players first. And that's why guys like Trevor Bauer are going after his job and saying, make me commissioner, which is very funny.
Yeah, it is interesting. But I just loved how you were like, hey, health matters first.
Sometimes, you know, you're in the middle of talking and you forget where you're going and you just kind of keep talking.
I mean, that's not good considering no. we do talk for a living around here.
You know. You're the one that's paid for talking. I get paid for other things.
You do. You do. You do. Clearly, other things, which is create unintentional comedy, which I also think is part of the equation. So
right, which is why you like to be
that.
Here. Yeah, you're
yeah,
welcome.
You're doing a good job. For that. But yeah, man, it's just Rob Manfred, dog. It's just like, yo, I don't get this at all.
Is there anybody you know that actually defends him?
So I asked Keith in that same interview. I said, do you think he was negligent to not revisit the bubble? And he said, negligent may be too strong. So even Keith had a governor. You know what I mean? Like, even Keith was like, that might be too strong. Now, I think he was negligent. But, you know, Keith, who clearly lambasted him right there, was willing to drop it into fourth gear after that particular comment. So he was with me, but not all the way with me.
Right. Now let me ask you this. So Jeff Passan was on the morning show today, and he said that they should revisit a bubble for the playoffs. What do you think about that?
Now that makes some sense. I think they should still do a bubble now, but yes, absolutely for the playoffs. You can't have the playoffs start and stop. You can't afford it.
No, if a team goes into a casino and then all of a sudden they get coronavirus, then the whole playoffs are messed up. Yeah, it's not going to work.
So you think that, remember Scott Boras suggested some sort of California bubble and playing like the World Series on Christmas or whatever. Maybe that's what they end up doing. Maybe they do something in California for the playoffs.
Yeah. It's going to be warm, and you're not going to have to deal with snow. You might have to deal with a little bit of rain, and you don't have any of the, you know, there are no dome stadiums here. But, yeah, I think that could absolutely work in California. I'm all for it.
I just wonder if the powers that be would let that happen in California.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, California is kind of a hot spot.
Well, particularly LA. Southern California, less so Northern California.
Right. So if you're going to do, I guess if you want to do it in Northern California, then.
Yeah, but Governor Newsom would have to sign off on that. I don't know if he would or wouldn't. I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough
Where one. Else could you do it? I mean, you know, Florida and Texas will want to do it, but do you really want to do it there? I mean,
no,
the NBA's
I mean,
working out, but do you trust, you don't trust Rob Manfred the way you trust Adam Silver.
No, absolutely not. Arizona, would Arizona work? It's usually a pretty dry area. And they have the entire, the Cactus League.
I don't know what the weather's like there in the winter, so.
I don't know. Oh, we can ask LZ tomorrow. He lives there.
Yeah, I'd be curious. But yeah, like, Arizona's also a little bit of a hot spot, though, too, Greg. It's not, you know.
Right, but if you make it a bubble inside of that area for the Cactus League and play it there.
But here's the problem with the bubble. It is a bubble, but not in the same way as it would be in the NBA, because you'd have to play games in different parks. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, it would take a lot more work because, and you'd still have to, you know, like, it's not like the NBA where they're in one central location. There's not
right.
one central location I think they can make that happen.
Now,
it would be bubble-esque, but it would still be more, it would give them more of a fighting chance to finish the playoffs than this current setup. That's for damn sure.
Now, how many fields are there in Orlando? I know there are baseball fields.
There are some baseball fields, but I don't think the dimensions are major league worthy. I don't know.
Oh,
I could be wrong. I know that there's the one park where
right.
the Atlanta Braves play their spring training.
Right. I know. I've seen it like in the pictures when they're showing the outside
of
the bubble.
I think those fields you see when they do the overhead shot for the NBA, I think those fields are not MLB ready. Like, I don't know if they're deep enough. They could be like high school fields or college fields, you know?
Oh, yeah, if they're too small, then obviously.
But I know
work.
That there is the one stadium in Disney's Wide World of Sports where the Braves play their spring training. So that one is.
Yeah, if there's too many games, you can't have the entire playoffs if there's only one
field.
Well,
we should investigate. Like, you know, maybe that's something people can investigate or we can figure out, right? Like, what are the dimensions? You could probably look it up online. The dimensions of those baseball fields at Disney Wide World of Sports. If that's the case, then they can do it there because then you have – there's two fields that you see in the overhead shots on the NBA stuff. And then there's the stadium where I know the Braves play, which isn't pictured there. So if that's the case, then you have three, then you could do it at Walt Disney World too, sure.
Yeah, because then you can already – they're already set for it because they have the NBA there, and the NBA will be over.
Did you see Michelle Roberts, the Players Association rep for the NBA, also said that maybe there'll be a bubble next season for the regular season in the NBA, and they would do like regionalize it. They would have four different locations.
Yeah, I saw that. That's kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, if that's the only way you can do it, yep. I mean, we don't know what the hell it's going to look like. I mean, it's a good plan to have, just in case. You know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Speaking of plans, man, not that I got $15 million or even $1 million, but good God, the XFL went for $15 million. Good for The Rock buying that. Anyway, we're done here. Thanks to Mike Greenberg. Thanks to Amin. Thanks to Bruce Feldman. You missed any of them. Subscribe to the podcast. Thanks to Greg and Laura. We love you guys. Stay healthy, stay safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. See you.